I ask that you would just join me in a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts to sing together. Father God, we're grateful for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for being our God. We thank you that on Easter Sunday, we're reminded of the hope that we have through your Son. This world that we're in is broken, and we see that in just extra focus right now as this virus sweeps across our country and really around the world. And so we just are so grateful, Lord, that we can come before you and know that we need not fear because you're with us. We know, Lord, that you are a God who can be praised, and that the hope of not just the cross, but the hope of the empty grave, Lord, shows us that we not only have victory over sin, but we also have victory over death. And so right now, Lord, we want to praise you for that. We want to celebrate who you are. And I just pray that the words of this song would be prayers from our heart to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let no one caught on sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the weight of all our sin, you bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden grave can hold you down. In strength you reign forever, let your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the grave, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, he's alive, he's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. That once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now.
Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross, he's now alive in me. Your name is victory. To Christ the King, by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Resurrected me.
I'd like to start today by sharing a story that happened very recently. And maybe you, like me, have had some extra time with your kids because of the stay-at-home order that we've had and the changes we've had to make to our life, working from home, different things. And it's been just kind of fun to talk to some of my kids in a different way as the world is going through some really hard stuff, to have some serious conversations with them. And I was on my back patio just recently with my son, Abe. And Abe is inquisitive. He's 8 years old in third grade. And he's always been just our son who really just has a lot of questions. All of our kids have, but he, I guess, is in that age right now. And so as we're sitting on the back patio, he asked me a question that I'm guessing most people around the world are asking right now. Maybe you're asking this question too. And he simply said this, "Dad, I got a question for you." I said, "Okay, buddy, what's your question?" He said, "Why would God let something like this virus happen? If God's all powerful, if he could do anything he wants, why wouldn't he stop this virus from going around the world and people getting sick and people dying? And why would God let this happen?" And as a pastor, I should have the right answer, right? And so I pause, I pray, and the answer that I have for him is the answer that I have for you today. I don't know. I don't know why God would allow something like this. But I told him what we can do is look to what we do know about God, who God is, what he's done for us. And really, I think the Easter message speaks to the hope that we have in the midst of a broken world. We don't have to spend a very long to see that our world is broken, and especially right now, we see the effects of sin and the way that it has impacted the world around us. And so I'd like for us to wrestle with a really hard question today. I'd like for us to consider, how do we make sense of God when life doesn't make sense? And I had the opportunity to share a message like this years ago when I was a very young pastor, and I used the book of Job. And I was planning on doing that today, and it didn't take long for God to take me in a different direction. And so I actually have that message online if you'd like to listen to it on our website. But I'd just like to highlight just a couple things, just to kind of at a surface level. You may know the story of Job. He's this guy that had it all. He had wealth. He had an awesome, huge family. He had possessions. He had land. And he was a person who was blameless. He loved God. And the Bible shows us an interchange, a conversation between Satan and God. And Satan essentially approaches God and says, "All right, this guy, he loves you, but look at all the stuff that he has. Why wouldn't he love you? He's got the wealth. He's got all the stuff. Take those things away, and then let's see." And so God allows this to happen for this guy who's blameless. He hasn't done anything wrong, and he suffers all these things. He loses family. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. He gets these boils on his body that just puts him in incredible agony. And then we read for 24 chapters, after his friends do the right thing and just come and kind of mourn and grieve that Job is going through this thing and just are silent with him for a few days, then they begin to give him advice. And their advice is based on the fact that they believe Job has done something wrong. He's done something to cause this plight that has become upon him. And it really is this principle that is held upon in the Old Testament often, and a lot of people believe it today. And I want to show you just briefly before we dive into the real message today that it's not something that we should adhere to. And it's something called the retribution principle. It's this idea that bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. And that's just kind of the way the world works. And that's what the friends believe. And so they start telling Job, look at all the stuff that's happening to you. You must have done something wrong. Confess it. Tell God that you did it. Ask for forgiveness and it'll all go away. And they spend weeks telling him this over and over again. He has this conversation with three guys over and over and over again. And Job is adamant, "I've not done anything wrong. I'm not sure why God's doing this." He cries out to God. He complains to God. He's real with God, honest with God. But at the end of the day, he stands his ground and he says, "I haven't done anything to deserve this." In Job 19:25, we see that Job takes an eternal perspective in the midst of this struggle and this suffering. He says this, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. That's what Jesus did. Now, this is hundreds of years before Jesus the Messiah came, but he's looking to the future of that event. He says, he will stand on the earth at last, and after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. In the midst of this suffering, Job is overwhelmed at the thought of being in God's presence, of being in the presence of a holy God. And I think that this really helps, at least for me, bring clarity to the real situation that is going on around us. We want to fix the physical healing. We want the things that are bad in our life to go away. And we can't see things from an eternal perspective. Often we are just focused on our here and now, our today. And I think that Job is able to kind of come out of that for a moment and see that life is about eternity. I love the way that my last church in Illinois, their youth group, just recently put a post on Facebook just today. I think it's a quote that they maybe found in a book or a devotion. It says, "Oftentimes we look to Jesus for the answer. But the beautiful thing about Easter is that Jesus gives us something better than an answer. He gives us hope. Hope that no difficult circumstance or painful season or struggle or suffering has the final say over our lives. That's hope we can hold on to no matter what we are faced with in life." I think that if we're able to look at the big picture, we can see that God has taken care of the ultimate problem, the problem of sin, the thing that everybody is faced with. And it's something that all of us have to own, and that's something that God has answered. He's given us a way to have a personal relationship with him, even though we don't deserve it, even though we're fallen and broken and we mess up, and because of all the sin in our life, we don't deserve to stand in his presence. He made a way through his son for us to have a personal relationship with him and to be forgiven. In 1 Timothy 2:3-6, it says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time." God desires for all to have a personal relationship with him. But this truth remains that not everybody does. And why is that? That's something that Abe has also asked me. And the way that I understand this is because God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want to force us to love him. He's not interested in forcing us to seek forgiveness. If that was the case, it wouldn't be true love. True love is not love if it's forced. And so he gives us this freedom to choose him, to receive the forgiveness that he offers. I'm not going to get into a message on the reality that he does have an understanding of who's going to do it. That's a theological concept for another time. But the reality is that Scripture tells us God desires for us to have a relationship with him. But he's not going to force it. He does not force that upon us. Maybe the easiest way for us to really wrestle this down is to take one verse that Jesus shared with us. In John 16:33, as he's talking about the peace that's available for us, he says these words, "I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." Another version says it this way, "In this world, you will have trouble." It's not you might or you may or if you do. The reality is our world is broken. Since Adam and Eve, there's sin that exists in this world, and we see that brokenness all around us. He says, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." He has made a way for us to be freed of all of this brokenness that we're currently in. Coronavirus, death, all these things that are a result of sin are something that God has an answer for. Somebody is the answer to that question. His name is Jesus. He died, and he didn't just die, he rose again. And Scripture tells us very clearly that's how we're able to have a personal relationship with a holy God. I want to take you to one more place. Well, actually, I'm going to take you to a couple more places, so don't get too comfortable. One more place in Scripture that I want us to dive into just briefly is a story that probably you haven't heard often on Easter Sunday. It's the story of the paralyzed man. And this is a story where Jesus is returning over the Sea of Galilee back to one of his hometowns, and he is getting ready to teach. He's getting ready to share truth with them. And at this point, people have heard that he can perform miracles and that he has incredible teaching. And so when he goes to this house, it crowds up very quickly. It gets full, and then there's people outside at the windows, doors watching. And so when we come to this story, there's these friends that are trying to get their friend who's paralyzed to Jesus. You maybe remember this story. In another gospel account, they capture the reality that they had to go through the roof. They had to climb onto the roof, dig a hole, and drop this guy down in order for him to see Jesus because they believed that Jesus could heal him. Look at this with me in Matthew chapter 9. It says in verse 2, "Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven.'" Now, they did not bring him to Jesus to forgive his sins. They brought him to heal so that he could walk again, so that he could to regain his strength, to be physically healed. But what Jesus does in this moment is he reveals to us our deeper need, an eternal need. A personal relationship with the Holy God that's available through him is what he's getting at the heart of here. It's so interesting. He says, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." Let's move on. So he offers the true need. And what happens next is intriguing. He says in verse 3, we find that it says, "But some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, 'That's blasphemy. Who does he think he is? Does he think that he is God?'" And I love this little bit of dialogue that we have in God's word, because what happens next is reveals who God is, who Jesus is. He's God. He is God. He is God in the flesh, and he is able to hear their thoughts. They didn't say this out loud. They simply thought it. And so I can't imagine what happened in their heart and in their mind when Jesus says this next line. In verse 4, it says, "Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asked them, 'Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home.' And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw what happened, and they praised God for giving humans such authority." I think what happens here is everybody present missed it. Jesus was showing them what he came to do. He's showing them that he has the authority to forgive sins. He meets the real issue that this man is facing, the same issue that all of us face, the reality that this life is temporary, that we have a sin issue, a sin problem that God wants to deal with, and he already has dealt with through his Son. But we just have to acknowledge it, we have to believe it, we have to accept it. God himself, Jesus, says these words when after he raises from the dead, which is what we're remembering today, which is what gives him the authority and the power to give us this hope. He says these words, "I came to forgive sins for everyone who will repent." There's forgiveness for sins for all who repent in Luke 24. Now, he doesn't give you a list of the things that you have to do. He doesn't say you have to be good enough. He doesn't say that you have to have your act together. You have to go to church building every Sunday. You have to have Bible studies. You have to have memory verses. You have to be good enough to earn your right to heaven. You simply have to own that the stuff in your life that is wrong doesn't line up with the Lord, and that he has created a way for you to be forgiven, for you to be set free from the power of that sin. It's so interesting to me because Jesus, I believe he really just tackles this issue that it's not this temporary healing that he has come to do. He's able to do that. He can do it, but he's able to give eternal healing. He's able to forgive the real issue. It's interesting because our church, Madera Church, recently, I'm looking for a face mask here. We recently did an outreach opportunity to our community, to Madera Highlands. And there's several ladies in our church who are able to sew, and they put these face masks together. They wanted to bless our community. They wanted to show them love. And I love the idea. Sally Bryan is the one who helped to head this up. And she really just recruited a team of people to make these. And so we gave out a couple hundred of these to, or we had a couple hundred made, and we're giving them out as people need them at the school lunch pickup in Madera Highlands. But one of the people had a suggestion to put our church website on the mask. And at first, I'll be honest with you, I didn't like the idea. I felt like, you know, I immediately thought of, you know, calling attention to yourself. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you give or when you serve. And so I didn't like the idea at first, but then I realized this passage that I am studying for this Easter message, and I realized that what are we doing if we're only giving out something that can take care of a physical, temporary issue? And we care about taking care of the people around us. We wanted to give these because we think that we know, very personally, we know that COVID-19 is impacting our world, and we wanted to protect people. But the reality is we believe we have a hope that is everlasting for everybody. So why wouldn't we want to share that too? And so we went ahead and blessed the idea of putting these website addresses on there. We believe that we have a hope that's worth sharing, that there's a God that loves you, He cares about you, and He wants a personal relationship with you as well. I've been kind of dancing around something that's been in my heart for a while in this message, and actually we were supposed to film this yesterday. The plan was to we're recording in advance, we can have these available for you, and we had some issues with our SD card, so not everything worked out like we wanted, and something happened between now and yesterday that has really just impacted me personally and our church family personally. And there's someone in our church who is going to be a part of Madera Church who has COVID-19. And an incredible lady. She loves the Lord. She has a great attitude in the midst of all this. But I just found out just before coming up to film this that she's in critical condition, and the doctors don't think that she's going to make it. And as I'm thinking about this, I was talking with her husband, and she shared very candidly that, you know, she knows who Jesus is. She has the ultimate healing, the one that He took care of right away with the paralyzed man. She understands that she has a hope in Jesus, that she's forgiven of her sins and has eternity with Him. And at the playing of this video on Easter Sunday, she may be in her Maker's presence face to face. We're still praying for healing, but the Lord may take her home. And she's ready. She's ready. And what struck me when I was talking to this incredible lady of God, she didn't want me to pray so much for her. I still am praying for her. But her prayer request was for her sons, who don't yet have a personal relationship with Jesus. And she realized that the spiritual, eternal thing is really what matters in life. And her hope is that this situation, is as heart-wrenching as it is, would be what God perhaps uses to reach their hearts, to let them know that there is a God who loves them, that has eternity taken care of. And it's not because we're good enough, but it's because Jesus loves us that much. I have some friends who are wrestling with what's going on in our world, and I think some people want to take the position of Job's friends. God is punishing the world because we've strayed from Him. I think that we shouldn't say that we know why God's doing this. That could be. God has every right if He wants to. But I think that as I look at who's getting impacted by this, these are people who love Jesus too. It's reaching around the world. And I don't, again, know why God would allow these kind of things to happen, but I believe that it's because of the impact of sin on our world. And He has taken care of the problem of sin. He did it on the cross. He rose again on the third day. And we know that those two things together forgive us of our sins and enable us to have an eternal relationship with a holy God. He's given us victory over sin and death. Look at what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 with me. Actually, let's start in verse 1. It says in Ephesians 2, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our own very nature, we are subject to God's anger just like everyone else. The reality is we all deserve to be punished for our sin. He's a holy God, and we can't stand in his presence because of our sin. But verse 4 is one of my favorite two words in the Bible. But God. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Jesus' resurrection is what pronounces the true victory that he has over life and death. His death on the cross took on the penalty of our sins, but his resurrection declares loudly that he has authority over all things, even death. And he can have authority over death for us as well. It could be that as I'm sharing this with you, my friend is in the Lord's presence, face to face with him, not because she was a good person, she was, but that's not what gave her the merit to be in God's presence. It's because of what Jesus did on her behalf and because she received it and because she owned it as her own. In verse 8, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There's a real problem that exists in our world. It's the problem of sin. And God answered that problem by sending his son to live a perfect life and to give that life as a ransom for you and for me. And he declared that not only did he take on that penalty, but he conquered death by raising again on the third day. I'll close with this thought. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you a question. Do you have a personal relationship with a holy God? It's not based on what you've done, but what Jesus has done for you. That can be something that you do today. I know a lot of friends in different places who are perhaps listening today, and some of you haven't made that step. You haven't committed your life to Christ. It's not about what you have done. It's about what he has done for you. He paid for your ransom in full, and he has answered the problem of sin in this world so that you can have a relationship with him starting today. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Our God has victory over sin and death through Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father God, we want to commit our time together just bouncing around in your word a little bit this morning. We want to commit it to you and ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to work through it. Father God, if there's anybody today who's not yet placed their faith in you, I pray that you would show them that they need you. Lord, this world is broken, and we don't always understand why, and you allow certain things, but we know that you have answered the ultimate question and made a way for all of us to spend eternity with you, to not have to be in this brokenness anymore. And so, Lord, I ask that if there's anybody listening today who's ready to take that step, that you've worked through your Holy Spirit in their heart and they're ready to confess their sin, I pray that you would help them to pray this prayer. Father God, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he walked this earth and that he lived a perfect life. Lord, I believe that he gave that life for my ransom on the cross, that he paid the penalty for my sins. Father God, I ask that you would help me to trust you, to follow you with my life. Thank you for the forgiveness that you give, and help me to turn from those ways. Help me to not return to them, Lord. I pray that you would become Lord of my life and that you would help me to totally live for you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look at your truth, and we ask that you would use it to change us. Lord, just as my son Abe asked, why do bad things happen? I think, Lord, that we can say that we don't know, but we trust the God who's in control And we know that he's answered the biggest problem and question of all, that we can, through Jesus, spend eternity with you. Father God, I ask that you would be with us now as we turn our hearts to worship. This was kind of a heavy message. There's been some heavy things on my heart lately, but I ask, God, that you would help us now to transition to a time of worship, of just thanking you for the victory that we have in Jesus. This next song, Lord, that we're going to sing talks about the living hope that Jesus is. Our Savior is alive. He is risen. He is not still in the grave. He has conquered sin and death, and that is what we claim today on Easter Sunday. We remember together that he has authority over all things and that he has victory for us as well. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I've been a pastor for a lot of years, and many people don't know this, but I actually have a brother who's a worship pastor out west as well. And I've never been able to lead a service with him before. I asked him to lead us in a couple more worship songs to close out our service today. And so let's again focus our heart on the Lord. And he's actually going to lead with a song that talks about the living hope that is Jesus. And let's just thank God for the living hope that he is for you and for me.
Good morning from California. Excited to get to worship with you all this morning. We have a unique opportunity to worship God from all the different remote locations this morning. So I just want to encourage you, you've heard about this amazing hope we have in Jesus, and now's a great time to sing about it. So let me just pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you, that we can come and adore you, God, and celebrate that you conquered the grave. And so we give you all praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, oh, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, oh, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Well, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Grip on me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
It came the morning.
In the morning that sealed the promise, your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh,
hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. And stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the storm was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. And now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Well, he is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
The Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Now forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. Oh, he is alive. Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you. We just declare that you are powerful, that you are love, and that what you've done has changed us forever. We give you praise for the hope that we have in you, Jesus. We know that this life can throw anything at us, but that we're held by the one who made heaven and earth and had the power to defeat sin and death. And so we give you all praise this morning and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for choosing to join us on this Easter Sunday. If you made a personal commitment to follow Christ today, I want to encourage you to send me an email so I can follow up with you and we can connect later via phone and explore next steps for you. You have just made the most important decision of your life, and I would love to be able to help you to continue that journey. If you have any other questions and you just want to explore this new church, you can go to maderachurch.org and find out more there. But we're just glad that you have chosen to be with us on this Sunday. And so from my home to yours, I just want to remind you that He is risen. He is risen indeed. Blessings on your Sunday.